November 1st, 2024. My name is Kate Maniscalco. Welcome back to the Baseballer Show. I'm joined, as always, by Jake and Bobby. And Jake Savicki, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me. Excited.
So weird hearing more than one word at a time from you, bro.
I know. Every time I post a video and say something, about 30 people are like, bro, shut up. Stick to just ball, crank. I'm like, all right, cool. Sounds good.
I love the sunglasses. They're so on brand.
You know, that's the thing. It's like I did this for a while and everyone's like, idiots wearing sunglasses inside. And then like 90% of the comments for that, I'm like, it's good engagement. I guess this is going to be my thing now. Sunglasses inside guy.
100%. Well, the Dodgers just won the World Series. Obviously, a whirlwind full of emotions for both Yankees fans and Dodgers fans. They clinched in five games. I feel like we should just go around everybody, like biggest takeaway from the series and thoughts about the Yankees' wonderful defense in the fifth inning. But yeah, whoever wants to jump in first.
I want to hear Jake's take.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Well, my take is, here's my take. I think the Yankees, I like all their players. I really like their individual players. As a baseball team as a whole, I couldn't stand them. I think they were, I don't know if it's managing at that level. I don't know, but they just weren't prepared. They weren't good. They weren't a good baseball team. They couldn't run the bases worth anything. Their defense was obviously god awful. I think it was bad the whole playoffs. I think Cleveland gave them several games. And I also think Vogt, I like him a lot. I think he was a great manager this year, but I just don't know why two games you pitch to Stanton in a spot where there's no reason to, and he ends up beating you, and you're now down 3-1 instead of up 2-2 or up 3-1 maybe. But I just think that here's what I like about the fact that the Dodgers won. The Dodgers sacrificed bunted, I think, 8 or 9 times in the playoffs, and they sack bunted 10 times the entire regular season. The Dodgers showed up to the playoffs to win. That's what they did. And I think they were there to play baseball, the kind of baseball that wins games, which is get one run any chance you can and do that. And then have your pitchers go out there and execute. And, you know, you can't control a lot of things, but I think Will Smith from game 3 or 4 from the Padres on was incredible. He was absolutely incredible. I think their whole probably obviously pitching department, Bobby, I'm sure you can appreciate that. I don't think that the Padres bats went cold. I don't think the Mets, you know, lost their sticks. I don't think the Yankees just all of a sudden couldn't hit. They out-hit the Dodgers in the series, I think. But the Dodgers' pitching was unbelievable. They just figured it. And it's, you know, baseball's contagious. It's like hitting. One guy starts hitting, everybody hits. One pitcher goes out there as a staff, and you give up a, you know, 10 runs, 10 innings, no runs. All of a sudden, it's a thing. Everybody that goes and takes that mound's like, yeah, I'm not going to be the guy that gives up a run. I'm going to execute every pitch. And I think the Dodgers just, it was their time, and they were very good for a team that was very hurt and all that. But the Yankees just bothered me because here's what I saw when I looked at the Yankees. I saw what I see when I go to showcases, a bunch of guys that hit the ball as hard as they can. It looked like an area code game when they played. There's no defense in area code games. It's pitchers airing it out, and it's hitters taking home run hacks, and that's it. There's nothing else. And that's what they look like to me. So I'm glad that that didn't win because I think it sets a little standard for kids like, hey, you got to be able to play this game. Bottom line, I mean, Aaron Judge is making zillions of dollars and he can't field a fly ball because he can't focus on it. And then I think we're going to look at that clip of the Cole covering first a little later, but I just think that the Yankees were not well managed, tons of talent, and just not a good polished baseball team. And I think the Dodgers, you know, and they pick up guys. What'd you pick Jazz up for to put him at third base to play 30 games in his entire career at third base? And he looked like it. He just looked like, I love Jazz, but he looked like a guy that wasn't comfortable at third. And then you look at the Dodgers who pick up an Edmund who played center field and then shortstop and played wherever he wanted because that pickup made sense. They did things at the break that made so much sense for them. And it played in the long run. But I just think the Yankees were a collection of very talented baseball players that just didn't play the game well.
Well, I think you hit the I always say this wrong. You hit the nail on the head very well. It's from a pitching perspective, they executed one pitch at a time. The Dodgers just kept it to the next pitch, and they didn't let their emotions kind of shine through. They were very They're very rational in their process, and that's always going to be the determining factor of whether or not a staff stays one collective unit, or if they start branching off and putting up big innings. So I very much so agree with you. I think that the Dodgers just came ready to show up, and to the credit of the individual Yankee pitchers, like, they all did a fantastic job. It was just a matter of them not getting the job done after the wheels started falling off. Like, they didn't shut down the innings. They let I know Luke Weaver had a couple balls in the air that should have been on the ground, but dude, like, the Dodgers are so good. What do you expect? Like, you put yourself in that situation, that's most likely going to be the consequence. Like, balls on the ground with that many good Dodger players is near impossible. So yeah, I would say just a couple of the mishaps in that fifth inning just kind of snowballed because we didn't shut the door.
Yeah. I said it before on last week's episode that the most complete team was going to win. And from the beginning, I thought the Dodgers were the most complete team. Kind of what Jake was talking about. They get guys who can play every position and every position well. They're a well-rounded team. And when your superstars aren't firing on all cylinders, the most complete team will prevail. And I also think that it set a standard for baseball, which, like, to Jake's point, a good standard, because the Yankees are just big bashers, and that's all they care about. That's where all their money went to. And it shows that in order to, like, really compete in this game and go a long way, you have to take a holistic approach. You have to play defense. You have to run. You have to throw. You have to catch. You just can't bash the ball all over the yard. So I think it sets a good precedent for baseball, showing kids that, no, you need to be good at everything, just not one thing. Because we've built such a culture of kids who just get in the cage and just take 1,000 swings a day, and they think that's good enough, and they go home. I was one of those kids at one time, and it didn't serve me well at all. So I think it set a good precedent for baseball.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was reading the scouting report that the Dodgers did on the Yankees, and, like, if you're a Yankee fan or if you're even a player on the team, I don't know how it wouldn't fire you up, but they essentially said that, yeah, we just looked at them the entire season, and they said they're going to, like, lose on the bases. They're the worst base running team in all of Major League Baseball. And they scouted their defense and said, like, they're going to beat themselves. Like, and any opportunity you can for them to make an error, that's what they're going to capitalize on. Like, we're going to look at the Rizzo and Cole thing. I think something that's nobody's really talking about is Mookie Betts was busting down the line. Like, it was in the 5-6 hole, and he had to beat out, like, an infield single. It was a grounder to first base. Any other player on the Yankees is jogging that out. But Mookie was, like, running his ass off and was ultimately safe, and it changed the entire trajectory of the game. But yeah, hats off to the Dodgers. I mean, capitalized on their weaknesses, so can't really get mad at that. Jake.
No, I'm just on the Mookie one run down line. I'm pretty sure whoever hit that ball that Aaron Judge dropped, I think they got to second base.
Yep.
And that 99% of guys are probably not, because they're hitting a line drive right at Aaron Judge, watching them jog in, going, damn it, you know? Yeah, they got to second base, and the ball didn't kick, like, insanely far away from Judge. But to your point, I think that's – and you hear Dave say it a lot, like, you have to respect the game, and the game will pay you back. And I just think that his team respected the game, played hard, all that. But I just think it's like Jank said and you guys both said, it's just fun to see – the game being played the right way, and then watching the best players in the world get rewarded for it. I just thought it was cool.
100%. Yeah. Like, even in game four, after Volpe hit the grand slam, like, that's another thing. The Dodgers were just, like, relentless. They beat out two throws that would have been, like, inning ending double plays, challenged both, and got them both. One of them was Freddie Freeman, who's literally has a sprained freaking ankle and is still, like, running down the line. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. I'm going to get a little heated right now, but yeah. A couple other things. Can the Yankees bounce back next year? Obviously, they have a lot of players that are free agents. I feel like the biggest one is probably where Juan Soto is going. Do you guys have any, like, early predictions if he's going to stay in New York, if he's going to go to another team? Obviously, he did say that he's open to all 30.
Dodgers.
Please, God, for no.
Go ahead.
I just want to know, like, who's getting replaced by Soto if he goes to the Dodgers? Like, who are you putting out there?
For the Yankees?
No, no. Who is getting released on the Dodgers if Juan Soto ends up going to the Dodgers?
It'd be Teoscar because I think he's a free agent. But he said he wants to be back with the Dodgers, so I don't know.
I'd take Teoscar over Soto. I think Soto's better, but I just think Teoscar fits. The Dodgers are like, they're like the Patriots. When you go over there, like, you're signing up for, like, you don't even exist anymore. You're just here to win and do whatever we ask you. And I don't think Soto's that guy. I just think he is. And I think Soto is the toughest out in baseball. He's my, that's something I wish kids, when they watch these World Series, I wish they would look at how many. I think Mookie hit a double. I think he got like three hits that he just poked to the right side with two strikes after taking home run hacks the rest of the at bat, because that's what you're supposed to do. And then he gets to two strikes and literally pokes a ball over there. I wish they would watch Rizzo. I love his at bats. That guy chokes up about 6 inches, gets on top of the plate, wears something. I watched Wells come in for a pinch hit. I watched Wells come in for a pinch hit. The dude is 2 for 40 in the playoffs. And Kopech throws him a 1-2 curveball that bounces 8 feet in front of the plate right at him. And he dodges it like a friggin' grenade. I'm like, dude. And then he strikes out looking. I'm like, you play the game, dude. You just got a free base for a guy that's hitting 090. Yeah. You got out of the way so you could now take a fastball down the middle and complain about it? Come on. So, I don't know. I look at Rizzo, love the at-bats. Soto is – I just think he's impossible to pitch to. He's one of those guys where you can execute exactly. And he's one of those guys that can truly walk back to the dugout every time and go, no, I got myself out. Like, some guys can, but most guys are like, I got myself out. But really, it's like, no, you're overmatched and you'll never hit that slider. Like, every time can literally go, no, I screwed that one up. That guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that he would fit on the Dodgers. And I also have no clue. That's just my opinion. He seems like a very much an eye guy. Even down to his comment right before the playoffs when he hit a home run in some park and they're like, that makes all parks you've hit one in. He's like, good for free agency. You're like, wait. What are you saying that 4 days before the playoffs for, dude? Come on, man. Like, it's just not a good look. So I don't know. I think Soto's going to go wherever the check is the biggest, and I don't think he cares. He's already got his World Series. He at 19. The guy's – he's got a Hall of Fame career. He's going to go where the money is.
I agree.
He reminds me a lot of Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
That's my only thought on the Dodgers is the Dodgers will pick him up just because they've done it in the past.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I could certainly see the Dodgers picking him up because at this point it's like an embarrassment of riches and it's probably funny to them. Like, I feel like if they got him, they'd be like, how pissed is everyone going to be?
They're going to defer like $5 million of it or $500 million of it too.
I just
but that's the thing. He's not going to defer it.
You don't think he would defer it?
No, he literally said, I want it all up front, which, like, whatever, you know, you put together the best season of your career at 26 years old. Sure. You deserve it.
Yeah.
But again, Otani, I don't know why he deferred. Like, I don't know if that was like, let's defer so we can get better people around here. I don't know if that's like I guess back to the Patriots, like a Tom Brady move, like save the money, get some good players. But I don't see, he also doesn't need it. Guy probably makes $100 million a year on endorsements. Doesn't matter. Yeah. So go ahead.
I think he's the highest paid player in the league with deferring his salary.
Yeah. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I looked it up the other day. He makes like, they said he makes like $70 million in endorsements. And in second place was Bryce Harper with like $6 million. I was like, whoa,
not even close.
Come on.
Bro, so, I'm literally wearing one of his shirts.
That New Balance deal, like, I'd love to know the New Balance deal for him to appear in like a 30-second commercial.
Yeah,
insane.
My favorite was when he was up there hitting in the World Series, and the banner on the wall behind him was him wearing Beats headphones. I'm like, God, this guy, jeez,
so good,
great,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, Jake, I'm curious what you thought about the Dodgers celebration after the final out. I feel like it was kind of low key. There wasn't like a big dog pile, not a lot of jumping around. Like, are we preserving? Nobody wants to get injured after the WBC incident with Diaz. Like, I don't know what's going on here.
They could have been. I think when you're up 3-0, it's like winning in a blowout. Like, if you win the World Series 11-2, it's kind of like if you're winning the World Series 11-2, like, you know, like, we're going to win. And that last out is just kind of like, all right, it's like a formality at that point. Like you won the World Series 45 minutes ago in the eighth inning, but now you got to do the rest. And I think the stress of knowing like the Yankees were not going to beat them three games in a row. If the Dodgers lost that game, they're going back home for two. I think they knew they were going to win. And yes, I think to your point, I think teams all over the place have calmed their celebrations down after Diaz and just, I watch it all the time too. I'm like, damn, I'm watching these dudes jump and fly around, like waiting for somebody to just get their Achilles stepped on with a metal cleat. I'm like, it's scary. But I think that was just, I think maybe that sums them up a little bit. They were just all business. They were a business team that was having fun, like all postseason. I think they were relaxed and they expected that out of themselves. And, you know, I think Dave Roberts, watching him, he grabbed his two coaches together and looked up to the heavens. I'm like, this guy is happy. So
yeah,
I think they just knew, but
yeah. I got a question for you guys. What do you think the baseball fan likes best? Which journey do you think they like the best? The journey of the underdog Nationals winning the World Series or the journey of the Dodgers, who on paper are supposed to win, but it's so star-studded that you just like watching it?
I feel like the underdog is like a more fun story, but this would have been a better series if the Yankees played better. Like if this series went to seven games and it was like Dodgers had one, Yankees had one, and it was neck and neck of two of the best teams in baseball, I think that's a more exciting story to watch. I mean, winning in five games and like they honestly like could have won in four. It's not the best. You know what I mean? In my opinion.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think the expectation level is at an all-time high when you have two of the highest paid teams going head to head. And like what would be a normal thing where there's a botched play at third and a not covered bag that happens like with the White Sox, like no one's complaining about that. But the second you get the highest paid organization making fundamental errors, it's kind of like you're disappointed and you're let down for what you thought was going to happen.
I think the answer that if there's a right answer to that is the underdog. I think people like the underdog. You know how many people would love to see Cleveland beat the Yankees and Cleveland beat the Dodgers? They would love that. I mean, this is like, it's like the way I watch basketball. I don't have a basketball team, but about three quarters of the way through the season, I start paying attention and find a team I like and go, all right, I'm rooting for these guys for the next 2 months. Like, and it's always a team that either scrapes in or just, you know, wins and round against the team they shouldn't. It's a lower seed. And so I think the average fan loves the underdog. We love the underdog always. But yeah, to your point, it's a great point, Kate, that it is disappointing to see what should have been, I mean, one of the greatest World Series of all times, just stacking it up on paper. You have Shohei and Judge. Come on. And then you got, I mean, you take the top, Stanton. I credit to Stanton, man. I love that poor guy. I say poor guy because he reminds me of like the Albert Pujols contract. Like you signed as the guy and then almost immediately went aged 20 years. You're like, damn it. But, you know, if you look at that, like you got Otani, Mookie, and Freeman, and then you got Soto, Judge, and Stanton. Like those three guys in the top four of any lineup together in a game, and the pitching, just all of it. It all matched up to be an absolute blockbuster of a series. And that is the disappointing part, like that the Yankees, I truly believe they gave it away. I mean, if they throw a ball from center field to second base on Shohei's double in game one and it doesn't roll into the infield like little leaguers and he goes to third and then scores on a Mookie Betts sack fly and then a ground ball or whatever to end the inning, they win the game. They actually win. They don't even get to the 10th. It's like you couldn't throw the ball from center field to second base? What are we doing? And then obviously there's the fifth inning. We'll probably talk about that. But that's the bummer of it is you had this opportunity to make it really good and it just was uncompetitive.
Yeah. Do you think the lack of being on that stage had anything to do with the Yankees failures? Because the Dodgers have been there for the last several years, right? Or they've been there more consistently than the Yankees have, at least. The team has a lot more experience on that kind of level. For the Yankees, I don't know the last time they were in a World Series.
I feel like from the team perspective, the Yankees weren't, but like a lot of the players have like Judge has played in the postseason. Like that's why that whole thing where it was like, oh, like he'll get there. I'm like, he's been in the postseason like 4 or 5 times in his career, you know, and it's tough. And it's actually kind of interesting, guys. I made a video on this. Ever since this was 2018, when they beat the Red Sox in one game in the DS, he played New York, New York after like leaving Boston. Since that game, Judge has hit like 176 in the postseason. But his first 16 games, he hit 276 with 6 home runs and like a 1 point something OPS. I'm like, you pissed off the baseball gods. They're mad that you disrespected the Red Sox. And then the Red Sox won the fucking World Series that year, of course, excuse my language. But I'm like, it literally, like, why? Why? Like, literally no one has it worse. Sorry.
It's not smart to do that to baseball. It's just like Verdugo saying Dodgers 2022, 20 World Series ain't shit. And then you strike out to lose the World Series 4 years later. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, man, it's, maybe don't talk, but you are, you know what? I made a TikTok about this a long time ago and it actually got taken down because the comments got so bad, which I thought was crazy. I went through this and you got somebody can fact check it, but I like went through it because I was thinking about the Yankees midway through the season and I was like, they don't have any winners, they don't have any leaders. Like Judge is the captain. Can you picture Judge in the locker room? Maybe he is, maybe he's not, I don't know, but I don't picture him in the locker room like, let's go guys, let me wake the fuck up, like what are we doing? I can picture Derek Jeter looking at everybody going, you guys are fucking morons. Sorry, you guys are it. I don't know language on this show. I can picture Jeter in the dugout or in the locker room saying, this isn't Yankee baseball, clean it up. Like those errors are not happening on a Jeter and Torrey ran team. There's no leadership. So I went through the entire team because I was spinning out on it one day before I made this TikTok. They have 2 championships between the entire team, Rizzo and one
Soto.
Other guy. Soto.
Right.
And that's it. Soto. They don't have one between Boone, the manager. They have 2 on the entire friggin' team. I mean, everybody. And I made this TikTok about it saying they don't have leadership. They don't have winners. No, you don't have to have won one to win one. But to your point, if you've never been there and you've never won one and your whole team hasn't and nobody's leading, the Dodgers probably had 45 championships combined. I mean, between all their dudes, Dave Roberts won one as a player, won one in 2020. Dave Roberts was on a team that was down 3-0 to the Yankees. It came back, obviously, beat them and then win the World Series. He always told me, I coached his son for a while and he told me one day, he goes, pressure only exists in tires. And I'm like, damn, I love that so much. Like, and when you watch the Dodgers, it's like, that's who they are. They didn't look stressed when they were losing to the Padres 2-1. They just said, we got to go play baseball. And they did. And you look at the Yankees and I think it was stress. It was not being there. It was getting, I think they demoralized themselves in game 1 when they lost that game. And I think the series was over right there for them mentally.
Bobby Heen.
I was just waiting for that one to sink in a little bit.
Yeah. Marinate.
Like, dang. Yeah. I was like, man, how many situations have I been in where the season ends long before it ever actually happens? Also, I was resonating on the pressure and tires comment. I've heard that before, but just hearing that and then seeing how the Yankees performed in that 5th inning is just like, yeah, they had a ton of pressure in that inning. That from the glove drop, I think we talked about Magic Johnson saying that the entire atmosphere of Yankee Stadium shifted. Kate, you were at that game. Was it true? Did everything just get quiet when he dropped that fly ball in center field?
Yes. I think though, like, you could also see, like, from the Yankees' perspective and kind of to Jake's point, like, they give up. Like, they make, like, one error and they get so flustered. But, yeah, Yankee Stadium was – you could actually hear a pin drop. It was dead silent after that. And then, obviously, after the Volpe error, it was even worse. It's tough. It's a tough look.
But, like, back to Jake's point, like, when something like that happens, because it does happen all the time, it happened a couple games ago with Ohtani. Like, you could hear a pin drop in Dodger Stadium when everyone thought Ohtani's career was over, but they still bounced back. They turned the page and they got to that next at bat and they finished the ball game. And I think the snowball effect from the Yankees perspective just shows that they had the lack of ability to bounce back from something like that due to kind of letting the game speed up too fast.
Yeah. What are the things that the Yankees need to do in 2025 to nix all these issues and become a more complete team?
I think it starts with the leadership, to Jake's point prior. Like, I don't know how they looked defeated every single game. And I think that the guys need to step up from a mentality perspective, because they're getting beat on fundamentals, like fundamental base running, fielding errors. Like, that's shit that you deal with in Little League. Like, that should not be happening at the major league level. And it's such a shame, because they have so much talent and they're making just really dumb mistakes. And I said this in the Royals series when they got called out on the bases like 3-4 times. I'm like, you do this to the Dodgers, you do this to the Padres in the World Series, you're not getting past the first two games. Like, there's no way if you do this to a little bit more competitive, a little bit better team. So I think that, yeah, they got to clean up base running. They got to clean up the defensive mistakes. I mean, they were the worst base running team in all of Major League Baseball. There's just no excuses. Oh, and they have to re-sign Soto. That's my two cents, but open to feedback from everybody else.
Go ahead, Bobby. Go ahead.
No, Jake, that's all you, man.
I just think it starts with the manager. I think I think when you're dealing with the best players in the world, your job is not to make them better at fielding fly balls, to make them better at covering first. Your job is to get them in the mental spot to do it. Cole, I think we're going to get to that clip later, so I'll save that. But I don't see – he threw that 5-run inning. There was one mound visit, and it was from the team after it was 5-5. What kind of manager doesn't go fucking talk to him real quick? Somebody, do yeah. something. You let 5 runs score before you make one single timeout, stop the momentum, reset. That's awful managing to me. That's awful. And I don't think, and to, you know, like anybody's credit, Dave Roberts gets ripped every year for having horrible bullpen management. And you know what? He learned, I guess. I think this year he said, I'm either getting fired or winning a World Series, so I'm just going to do it my way. And I think he said, yeah. I'm not pulling these guys. I'm going to let Walker Buehler tell me he's ready, and I'm going to friggin' throw him because that's what my gut tells me to do. And it was sick. That was friggin' awesome. Yeah. So I think it starts with the manager. And I think if you ask Boone, closed doors, nobody around, did you screw this up? He would say, yeah, absolutely, I did. And I think all the Yankee players would say same thing, because – The Cole not covering is way worse to me than actually Judge not catching the ball. Because
I agree.
They're human beings. Like, Judge, that sucks. It's just a human error. I took my eye off the ball on a ball I've fielded 12 million times in my life, and it just happened. It is what it is. But the Cole thing just looked to me like a – and he always looks sad on the mound, always. But, like – he just looks like he doesn't even want to be there. And I know that's his thing, and that's what gets him in the zone. Great. But then something like that happens. And you're like, dude, you don't even think you guys are going to win the series. Because if you did, you would have busted your ass over there, and that would have been in your mind. And again, as a manager, why is your – if you're managing – they both were managing incredibly talented teams. Why is one guy's pitcher with the biggest pitch of the game, you have your chance to get out of a bases-loaded jam – on Mookie Betts, and you get it. You get what you need, but mentally you're not prepared to go cover first. Well, meanwhile, the Dodgers are down by 6, sprinting out double plays with broken ankles. That's managing. They managed their team differently. And I think it all starts with Boone coming back and going, look, guys, we screwed it up last year. We were every bit as good as the Dodgers, and we lost 4-1 because we didn't play the right kind of baseball. That's on me. You want to win a World Series this year? It starts today, and this is how we're going to do it. And it needs to be consistent. You need to be flying to LA for the World Series and doing PFPs the day before. And you need to be taking your – you need to do everything the same, I think. I think routine is big, and I just feel like the Yankees' routine was, let's see how far we can go on our sticks.
Yeah. And, Bobby, we can get into the Cole play, because I do want to hear your thoughts on it from, like, a pitching perspective. Again, I played softball, so no one was covering first base. Just made the play as a first baseman. But, like, is it any time the ball is hit to the right side, you're trained to sprint over there?
Yeah, you sprint to the line, and then you sprint up the line, and you're waiting You're not waiting for someone to call you off. You're making someone force you to peel off. Like you literally right. are in a foot race with that base runner until that first baseman puts his hand up and sprints in your same direction. Like it's like a collision course where you play chicken with the first baseman. And cause you know, if you don't have the momentum leading up to that potential play, then that base runner's beating you out. So you literally have to book it with everything you got. And I saw Gerrit Cole like decel as he approached the line. And I knew like, even if he decided last minute to make the play, it was already too late. Cause he decelled. You have to be accelerating through that base path. And yeah, I think it showed instantly the fact that he pointed his finger to him. He's like, "Hey, you get it." Like, I don't got this. You get it. It's just like to Jake's point, like he doesn't have a broken ankle. There's no reason he's not legging that out. I still think he was in his feels about the drop third or the drop fly 100%. Ball and the throw to third. But yeah, I mean, the dude he's a veteran and he's a Cy Young winner. He has no excuse. Like the fact that he didn't turn the page, like, and I'm sure he would be the first to admit it. Like, yeah, I wasn't in that play. I didn't anticipate the ground ball to that side, and my head wasn't mentally there. I was already walking back to the dugout at that point.
Do you have that clip? Because he's talked about that after the game, and he said, "I took a bad route." I took a bad route to the ball first to field it, and then it was just hit weird and the spin. He basically said he took a bad route to field the ball. And if you have that clip where Mookie hits it, I don't know if you can pull it up on here, but
I wonder if I can throw it in.
It's hilarious to me that was his excuse, because it's like the regular camera behind Cole in a game. He throws the pitch, the ball's hit, and the camera immediately pans over to like behind home plate where you can see it. Cole is like still on the dirt, like he just threw the pitch and the ball's almost to first base. I'm like, what do you mean you took a bad route to field the ball? Like
that you didn't take a route.
That's an excuse, and that's a leadership thing. That's him. He needs to go, I friggin' screwed it up. But what do you want me to say? I didn't do my job. But making an excuse like I took a bad route to the ball and then the spin with Rizzo, it's like, no, it takes some accountability. You just didn't do your job.
He took the same route that he took on the following play when it was a freaking line drive off the wall that he thought was a home run, and where he was just standing in no man's land on the mound. Like the dude literally just stood there and watched it, like still moping about the fly ball that Aaron Judge didn't catch. That's my perspective. Like the route he took was the same route he took when he didn't cover his bag, didn't cover home plate.
But he does that a lot. Like, he gets, for someone that is so much talent and is obviously one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball, he gets flustered very, very easily. We've seen it with him throughout the entire season. Like, he spirals on the mound, gives up a couple hits. It's weird though, because I feel like he can turn it on and off, because then they brought him back out, which I was shocked. I thought they were going to pull him after that. And he was fine. He was lights out for the rest of the game until they brought in Holmes. But I don't understand, like in that moment, it's like he can't. And I think Jake nails it on the head. He just like wasn't in on that play, because he starts to run and then just stops. Also, I'm curious what you guys think. Like, do you think Rizzo could have just fielded it and beat out Mookie in a foot race if he had that mindset?
I think to Gerrit Cole's point, the ball did like go off the end of the bat weird and it was spinning weird. So Rizzo was trying not to pull a Buckner. So I think 100% he was sold out on making sure the ball was in glove and didn't have the momentum to beat the foot race to first. So he needed Cole there in order to make the play personally. So I think all the finger pointing aside, like Cole needs to be there.
I agree with that. I think Rizzo saw the spin, saw that he turned into a goalie and said, I need to field this ball. And you watch the last hop, it looks like it goes 12 inches to the left and Rizzo makes a good little play on it. And Cole just wasn't there. I think if Rizzo sprinted immediately, it would have been bang, bang, but it's not his job. He did his job. I fielded this tough ball and I put myself in a great position to flip an underhand to my pitcher who's not here.
Yep.
I do love Rizzo. I love Rizzo.
He's the best.
He is.
Hot topic for a poll really fast. So do you guys think Aaron Boone is comparable to Michael Scott?
Dude.
Oh my gosh. If he is, the slow pan in like they do to Michael Scott would always be Boone just a top step chewing his gum confused.
Yeah. Like after game one, when Freddie Freeman hit the grand slam and they literally zoomed in on Boone's face. I'm like, oh, you really? We thought it was a good idea. This is what happens when you put in a pitcher that hasn't friggin' thrown a ball in a month and a half to a professional baseball player.
Again, terrible management. You bring a guy that hasn't thrown a pitch in a month and a half, hasn't ever had a relief appearance, and you bring him in to get Shohei and Freeman in the freaking World Series? What are you doing? He threw
you would think it was game seven. Like, we had nobody. You would think we literally had nobody left.
Right. He threw two pitches. They were both cookies right down the middle. He got lucky with Shohei fouling out, and then Freeman's like 93 middle in. Thanks, buddy. Like, poor Nestor. That's just, what a horrible situation to put him in. And that's one thing Dave said throughout the whole playoffs. We're trying to put our guys in positions to succeed. And that's for any player that's ever played, coaches. That's your job. And it's like, my coach told me one time, hey, you're not playing today. I was like, oh, for my last 30. I'm like, sounds good. He's like, you're literally not playing. Take the day to remember why you enjoy baseball. Hang out with your buddies in the dugout. I'm like, all right, cool. I was just screwing around the whole time. I didn't know how to sit the bench. That wasn't my thing. And I'm like, I took the athletic tape and I ripped it into tiny little thin pieces. And I taped every like crap knuckle, I guess. So I had like two pieces of tape on each finger and I had a bunch of gum in. And the eighth inning, he's like, Savicki, you pinch hit. I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean? I couldn't even get the tape off in time and I couldn't find my batting gloves. So I walk up there with half my fingers taped, struck out on three straight pitches, and walk back to the dugout. He's like, remember why you like baseball? I was like, yeah, thanks, coach. Like, he didn't put me in a good position to succeed. And I'm like, that's what we get. So I just think that there's a lot of, like, you, like, right when you said it, you, Kate, just the way you said bringing Cortez in, like, you knew it was a bad idea from your couch. Like, I think Boone just, everything sped up on him this World Series.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, before we wrap, do we want to go around, Bobby, have some pitching tips for us, Jake hitting, and then Jake, whatever you want to talk about as well?
Yep.
Works for me. I can start. So, man, it's hard to even say it. Like, baseball's over for the season. So, I feel like a lot of pitchers, this is the time of year where you guys need to be working on your development and gearing down from baseball. If you've had a long season, you need a deload. That's awesome. A lot of guys that I've worked with in the past use this time to work on developing new pitches. So if you are working on developing a new pitch, I would highly recommend getting your changeup dialed in. And the thing that I've seen guys mess up the most when they're dialing in their changeup or trying to get more movement or trying to get it to blend with their fastball more is they don't really have a concept of what the spin is supposed to be doing. Everyone teaches like to be over pronated. So they're like trying to get on the inside of the ball to make it move more. One tool that I find to be very valuable is understanding like the direction that the ball is spinning isn't necessarily like a pronation aspect. It's more of like a tilt aspect. So if you are thinking about a ball spinning directly in backspin, like a fastball, by getting more on the side of the ball, you're actually going to create the arm side run. And as the ball slows down, it's still going to get depth. So training yourself to focus more on the tilt of your pitch rather than on trying to pronate and move it this direction, that's going to help protect your shoulder, keep everything smooth, but also like keep the ball blending with your fastball well.
Yeah. Nice. So I think that we learned a very, very important lesson from this World Series. And I think the moral of it was that you cannot hyper-focus on one area. You need to be complete and focus on everything. So baseball players, take that as a note in your development this offseason. Just don't go in the cage mindlessly swinging away and just hit a bunch and feel like you accomplished what you needed to for the day. You need to work on all areas of the game and become a complete baseball player, because at the end of the day, that's what prevails. Some days you aren't going to have all of your tools. Some days your hitting is going to be off. And if that's the only tool that you focus on, you're going to be you're going to be a detriment to the team and the people around you. So focus on being a complete player if you want to make it far in baseball. Take your ground balls.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good. I'll just spin right off that and say, as a high school coach for several years and watching the showcase circus and the circuit, and kind of, I guess it could be a circus. It's called a circus. I think it is a circus. Those guys measure the exit velo, which is great. The velo on the mound, all the spin rate, they measure all that because it's something that's hard to teach. And so if you have that, good for you, but nobody's going to draft you. Nobody's going to give you a scholarship for any reason other than they think you're going to help their organization win. And that is a big deal. So for me, the lack of baseball IQ was just so evident in youth sports. And it was because they go to a showcase and the pitcher goes out and you're throwing to five batters no matter what, whether you strike them all out or they all hit doubles, it doesn't matter. The scoreboard's not on. So they don't play a lot of baseball where they're trying to win. So if you want your baseball IQ to be boosted, try to win a game. That's it. Because now when a guy hits a single to left field and you're the shortstop, and you're really thinking about winning the game, you're going to catch it from the left fielder and you're going to turn and look for the back door at first base instead of just catch it and turn and look for nothing. And those are the little things that I think if you just think about winning the game is not important, but being a guy on a team that helps your team win and knows how to do the little things or picks up an extra out when you can, whatever it is, running the bases correctly. That's it. So I think your baseball IQ should match your skill level, and I think just literally trying to win a game will boost your IQ by 1,000. So play to win the game. It'll help you out individually and as a team.
Love that. I'm just going to end with, I saw a lot of discourse on this on Twitter, everyone overanalyzing Juan Soto's comments after the post game. And I feel like people are forgetting, like, any free agent is not going to give you any sense of like what team is going to go to. Like, he's not going to come to the media and come to the reporters and say, yeah, I love playing in New York and I absolutely would never want to leave, because at the end of the day, he's trying to get the most money. So anything that he says could make a team, you know, not want to sign him or like pay him a little bit less. It's going to be a bidding war for Soto. And I truly believe he's not going to take less to stay in New York. I think he's just going to go to where he gets the most amount of money. There's going to be no deferrals, nothing like that. So if Hal can give him the highest offer, then he'll stay with the Yankees. But I don't think he would like give the Yankees the last option. That's my 2 cents on the Juan Soto free agency, because people are already talking about it, which is insane.
I agree with that.
Well, guys, this has been so much fun. Jake, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. I, any chance I can come on and ramble about stuff, I'm in.
100%. We'll need you for the offseason.
One quick thought, guys. If you guys know what this brand is, these are the good old days. This is Rough Shot Supply Co. Actually, have the owner of Rough Shot Supply Co. on the show with us today. So, Jake, thank you so much for making these, man. Thanks for sending it over. I appreciate it, dude.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the shout out on that. Thank you very much. You guys are awesome. To rep that stuff makes me feel good. So, I appreciate it.